Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Not a bit of it. We're looking back at a good game and a good performance yesterday on tonight's Charlton Live. Very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. This is your Sunday evening. I am your host, Louis Mendes, joining me in the studio here at the Valley, trying to escape from the giant spider walking around the studio walls.
Walking around the studio.
Nathan Miller, how you doing, Nathan?
Yeah, living the dream, mate. Yeah. Even though it's a Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. He's come a bit closer to me now, actually, isn't he, the big spider?
Yeah, I gave him a little bit of a push.
Yeah. He's huge. I don't think I can describe how huge he is. I might take a photo and put it on Twitter. We are being invaded by giant spiders here at the Valley this evening. Well, on tonight's show, we're going to look back at the game up at Bradford City yesterday. A goalless draw it was, but it was a cracking game. A really good performance, particularly in the first half. We're going to hear from the new gaffer, Carl Robertson, not once but twice, because spoke to me twice yesterday. Did old Big Carl, and that's big by his own admission, as we're hearing in one of the interviews. We're also going to hear from left back Adam Chickson, and we're going to talk about the game. We're going to hear from you guys. We want to know what you guys made of the game, what you made of the new gaffy. You can email the studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can go onto the Charlton Live forum and send us a little message on there as well. We're going to talk about... I was looking for something to talk about today because it's been a sort of a quiet news week, really, isn't it? I was looking around the flat looking for inspiration, and I looked at my massive football mug collection, which I added to yesterday up at Valley Parade. So I decided to do a sort of a fun sort of thing in the second half of the show. We decided to discuss what sort of tat that you guys collect from football grounds. I collect mugs, my other half collects pens from football grounds. I'm sure there's plenty of sort of stuff that you guys collect. Let us know what that is. We're also going to give you a little bit of news about a boat trip that's being planned for the away game at AFC Wimbledon in February. Got a little bit of news on that for you. And of course, we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's FA Cup game with CFC player commentator Nathan Millay, didn't they? Looking forward to that?
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be nice to meet Carl.
Yeah.
Sony's probably a little bit bigger than me.
But by his own admission, we'll come to that later, because that was one of the many things that made us laugh yesterday. Unfortunately, the highlights recording failed in the first half yesterday, and that's where all the best stuff happened, so I couldn't be bothered to put together the highlights of the second half, because it's not really worth it.
No.
Now, if you weren't there, unfortunately, not many people went up. 600 or so addicts made the trip up to Yorkshire, wherever Bradford is. But you've seen the match reports, you've seen the interviews after. What are your feelings coming out of that one?
Yeah, well, the first half, it was when the news was sort of leaked that we were missing a few players through this bug that went round the squad, it was like, okay, we'll take a draw. You know, it wasn't too... When we said off air, if we went 1-0 down, we didn't really have enough on the bench to sort of change the game. So that's what I was concerned with. So all the time it was 0-0, I was quite happy with it, and see if we could nick a goal sort of late on. But as it turned out, the first half we absolutely pummeled them, and we had chance after chance, you know, one off the line, hit the bar, hit the post, and we had a couple of other chances, and it looked like Cole's starting to implement the way he's playing and being aggressive in all parts of the pitch. And so obviously the second half we had to sort of defend a little bit, but yeah, no, the signs were good, and it was nice to go away from home and, you know, going out there with the intensity instead of just sitting behind the ball and trying to catch the people on a break.
Yeah, and especially when you look at Bradford's home record, I think they've won 5 and drawn 5 before they played us, completely unbeaten at home. You're right there, no? If you've got sour sweet on the go as well. Mm. Walking disaster tonight. The way we attacked them in that first half, and it was the way the team was set up as well. We did go with Botaka on one wing. We went with Nicky Adjose on another wing. Lee Novak started up top. We obviously had the ill players, so we had Ademola Lookman was out ill, Morgan Fox was out ill. That meant that Adam Chixon came in at left back. We then lost Jason Pearce after 2 minutes. He came off holding his groin. It looked like a nasty one. So all these things conspiring against you, you'd almost be tempted to write the game off as, oh, you know, it was never going to be our day today. But that was nowhere near the mentality we seemed to have as that game got going. After I'd say 5-10 minutes under a little bit of pressure, once we got into our stride, the remainder of that first half, or perhaps a half an hour spell before the last 5 minutes at the end of that first half, we were excellent and really could, and maybe, you know, if we're being ultra harsh, should have got two or three goals, because at times there, Bradford weren't able to deal with us.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And like you said, we sort of had the problems we had with the people not travelling, and then Jason going off after 2 minutes. It's a testament to the players that, you know, we're sort of not square pegs and round holes sort of thing, but in a way it was. But, you know, Nicky probably would have to do a lot more defensive work that he's probably used to. Chixon's had to go left back, even though he's played there before. And so, you know, it was a testament to them to sticking together and sticking to the game plan and still grafting. And like you said, we nearly nicked it. Maybe possibly on the balance play, I don't know, did we deserve to win it, would you say? Or do you think a draw was a fair result?
I think a draw probably a fair result, because by the second half, when Bradford started coming out, and they had some decent players. I like Jordi Hiwula. The geezer who was sort of playing in midfield. And
the old Derby man, isn't he?
I can't remember. He's born from Huddersfield. I don't know that much. I was looking up some stats about him. Yeah. He was him and Dylan Phillips seemed to have a bit of a personal duel going on, which was quite entertaining to watch, because Dylan certainly came out on top in that one. But he did look a good player, this Hiwula, and he was putting us under pressure. Ironically, every time he missed a chance, there was one bloke behind me shouting, "Get him off! Get him off!" even though he was one of Bradford's best players.
The only one who's shooting.
I mean, let's talk about those chances. You've seen them on the highlights. The first one, Adjose plays through McGuinness. I mean, even though Adjose was playing on the wing, he still has that understanding with McGuinness, played him through. McGuinness does well to bring it down, makes space for the shot, fires it across the goalkeeper. And this is the closest we came, really. Hit the inside of the far post. And I thought it was going to trickle over the line, but just went across the line. I mean, you can't get much closer than that.
No, you can't. And it was good play from McGuinness to bring it down, because when he brought it down, I thought the ball was still sort of behind him, and I didn't think it was going to be able to get it out of his feet, but he's managed to get out of his feet and shoot across the goal, and like you said, it just rolled out. You could hear the cheers. Everyone thought it was in.
But again,
it's good link-up play. On his day, Josh he's just an absolute tank.
Absolutely unplayable in that first half yesterday. I think Carl says as much in his interview after the game. It's funny, though, I was listening back to the highlights, and like you say, the Charlton fans were cheering that goal as if he'd gone in. And then you can hear the Bradford fans trying to mimic it a few seconds later, pretending to cheer and then stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking a mick there. the next chance. So then Jordan Botarka. Now, Botarka is someone that we've seen fans calling for starts. Carl Robinson said on his first press conference that he loves to play with wingers. I think when I spoke to Subley, he said that he said, I effing love wingers or something along those lines. But so that didn't quite make the cut there. But and we've seen that with his two games he's had so far. He's played with two wingers. Obviously, Jose had to drop out because of the illness today. But, you know, Botarka's starting. That's something that fans have been calling for. Now, for me, now we've seen him a bit in longer spells. I mean, we saw him coming off the bench for a little while at a time, and he was looking good, looking like he was going to create something. When you see him in longer spells, he's turned into a typical winger now. He's some decision-making you're going to question. Like, a few times he played the ball down the wing and took too long and too many step-overs and lost the opportunity to cross. Other times he shot from distance. One in the second half, where he tested Colin Doyle stretching, and then it would have been a decent effort, but maybe two or three times he shot when he shouldn't have. But at the same time, you know, you get that with wingers, don't you? You expect them to get things wrong because they're in one of the most difficult positions. They're in one of the positions where you have to be creative and you have to take chances.
Yeah, I mean, if you try and you could possibly count on one hand how many wingers in the world consistently play at the same level every single week, but. So yeah, they are hard because they're not going to do every single thing right. But the main thing is that he's getting in those positions, because things like decision making and his crossing and stuff, that can be coached. So as long as he's got the intelligence to make the space for himself to get in those positions, that's the main thing. So, but yeah, like you said, with Botarka, it's a question: is he an impact player? But obviously, I've not seen Botarka start yet. I don't think.
Did you come to the cup game?
No. Which one? No, I don't think I've seen him start. He was only sort of getting bit parts. So, yeah. Or did he start?
He started at MK Dons last week.
I didn't go to that game. So, yeah. But yeah, no. So again, I haven't really seen him. But when I have seen him, the first time he came on, it was a bit ropey. But he was quite unfit. So, but yeah, from the last few times though, he's actually made an impact. So, yeah, hopefully it'll continue. But I think once Cole gets his philosophies across, I think it will bode well for any winger, Addy or Jordan or Nicky.
And there is also a case of when you are just coming into the team, whether it's a case of the fact there is a new manager who's going to try and implement new stuff, but B, it's the fact that Jordan hasn't been playing consistently with these players, so he doesn't quite know how to read the game. I think there was one yesterday where Crofts went to play a ball behind the defence, but Botarka pulled away from the defence, so a completely different wavelength. So that's the sort of thing where he needs to understand where other players are going to play him in, and also needs to understand when other players are going to overlap. Because I think there was once or twice yesterday where, you know, wrong decision making, shooting when he shouldn't have, holding on to the ball too long. But that sort of thing
that comes in time, doesn't it? Yeah, that, I mean, that will come in time with the games he plays. So,
but he is a skillful player, and that's something that at times we've lacked. Really, we've got Ricky and we've got Adamola. They're probably our two most skillful players, and Jordan could be a third option for that if he can just get his head up and make that right decision.
Yeah, I mean, when Ricky got injured, I don't think I was on my own, and I was actually quite concerned about, you know, how we were going to play and if we were going to create as many chances as we had. And we've done actually really well since Ricky's been out. So, and Jordan, that place is for Jordan and Addy to keep now, because obviously once Ricky comes back, I don't know when he's back.
It was 8 weeks, and it's been about 3 weeks so far.
Well, okay, so it's got to be after January time, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
hopefully. Well, no, yeah. No luck with injuries. We'll see him again.
Yeah, January 2018. But yeah, so it's in his hands now to keep his place in that team. So.
Yeah, so that Jordan Botarka chance, well, it wasn't really a chance. He was trying to put a crossover. It took a deflection off one of the Bradford men, and it just looped up into the air. And again, Doyle was completely rooted, and it came off the crossbar. So that had been twice in 3 minutes we hit the crossbar. Then not much longer after that, we saw another chance with Lee Novak was playing up front. He hustling and bustling on sort of on the right wing, won the ball midway through the Bradford City half. Went into the area, pulled the ball back to McGuinness, the very busy and the very dangerous McGuinness, who had time to take a touch, place his shot, maybe wasn't quite perfectly in the corner, again, if I'm nitpicking, but it was excellent composure to bring it down, to pass. You know, he knew where the keeper was. He couldn't go to the other side, in my opinion, because the keeper was blocking that side. He had to go to the side he went to, but the defender was on the line. If he'd gone slightly nearer the post, he might have asked a bigger question of him. But, you know, we were coming close, and that was another big chance.
Yeah, and it's one of those shots where sometimes you can have too much time to sort of have a shot and you overthink it a little bit. But he done well, you know, to get it obviously on target, because when I looked at it back, I thought someone's going to clear it, and it's literally that person's got back on the line straight away, and it was great defending. But again, it's another sort of build-up play that we're sort of getting down the sides, and it's not always Josh making the chances. You know, he's trying to put them away as well, and Novak done well yesterday from what I see. So, yeah, no, it was all in all, we created the chances in the first half, and it seemed that we were really unlucky to go into half-time at 0-0.
And that half-time, that first half performance, like we said sort of earlier, comes on the back of losing one of your centre-halves early on. Jason Pearce went off with a groin. Carl doesn't sound too positive about it, but he does admit he's not physio, so he doesn't know. replacing him, George Teixeira. Now, Teixeira is someone who was seemingly frozen out under Russell Slade. When Carl spoke to Terry last week after the MK Dons game, he mentioned something along the lines of how Teixeira now has a clean slate and how he's an excellent player. For whatever reason he wasn't playing under Russell, it seems now Carl has given him a clean slate, and he's probably going to get involved more. He's a great player.
Yeah, no, he's a good player, and I think there was never that doubt that he was a player. But you know, we obviously had the injury sort of pre-season, and he was slow getting back. And we had Pierce playing and Konza playing at the beginning, and they were playing okay. And then Bauer got fit, and then he came in and he started playing well. So there weren't really a need for any manager to drop either of those two just to play George. But because we have got one of the best defence in the league, and we must be in the top six defence.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, if something's not broken, you don't try to fix it, do you? But yeah, but now he's obviously got a chance with Bauer at. And obviously Pierce probably looking like he's going to be out for at least a month if it is a strain. But George is a good player, and like you said, when a manager comes in, every single player's got a clean slate. And then it's a fresh, and then so yeah, he's got to, again, he's another one, he's got to take his chance now, because like I said, I wouldn't have dropped Pierce or Bauer, but now one they're not there, he's got to. Whether he's here beyond January, I don't know, but he's got to take his chance.
Because the good thing for us is the fact that we have got ample central defenders. Yeah. We had six senior central defenders at the start of the season. You do wonder what the Bauer suspension will only be one game, but see how bad this injury is to Pierce. Whether that'll make any difference to the fact that Harry Lennon, Richard Cawley was reporting there was clubs interested him in for January. And at the time, when I saw that, I was thinking, probably let him go, to be honest, but he's a decent enough player. He's made a couple of mistakes, Harry Lennon, but we've got enough cover there that you don't really need him. And for him, it might be better for his career to go somewhere where he's got more chances of getting first team games, but you never know. Right, so second half starts. Botarka did have a long ranger quite early on in the second half, but then Jordi Huula continued his personal battle. I mean, he had a one-on-one with just before half-time with Declan, where Declan came out really well to tip it around. Declan made a good save off Hansen early on as well.
Dylan,
not Declan. I know, I was picturing him as well.
I thought you were saying Declan Phillips. I was like, combining the two together.
I did mean Dylan. I knew what I meant. But in the second half, Huula starting again. I think there was a one-on-one in that second half. He had a shot just past the post, Dylan's post, Dylan Phillips's post.
Deals.
Good old Deals. Dylan. I'm trying to think of a nickname, but all I can think of would be incredibly rude. but then in the second half, I think we didn't quite hit the same sort of spell that we had in that first half. And then Bradford started to show their form. They sat fourth in the league, 5 points above the team in fifth. You know, you can see they're a good team, and you expect to come under pressure at that point.
Yeah, exactly. They're unbeaten at home, aren't they? So they're obviously unbeaten at home. They're up there. You know, they've always been, when Parky was there, they've always been flirting with the playoffs the last few seasons. So it was only going to be a matter of time when they obviously put us on the back foot, and we needed to stand up and be counted, which he did. So you know, when they obviously come out second half, so obviously to put that first half behind them, we just had to stand up, and obviously we did that, and obviously kept the clean sheet, which again we've had quite, you know, we 0-0 against MK. So, but like we've always said, our defence isn't the problem. It was nice to see a clean sheet, especially with the situation we had with the whole of the game, really.
Yeah, I mean, as that game progressed, you know, you start to wonder what sort of substitutes that Carl was going to make. But he sort of kept to his guns and decided to make quite attacking ones. I think we saw Jacko come on. We saw Hanlon come on quite late. Obviously, he'd already made the one in the first half with Teixeira. But he made two attacking subs in the second half. And even though we're under pressure, he wasn't thinking until Bauer got sent off. He wasn't thinking about trying to take that point. He was still trying to think about affecting the game positively and getting forward. And, you know, he can't really ask for much more than that. I mean, we were talking before the game, sort of a few of us just in the press zone, saying we're not going to have many. Ironically, we've had two in a row, but we're expecting to see a lot of goals in games under Carl Robinson because we do go so forward so much. I mean, we have got a good defence, so hopefully we'll still keep a few clean sheets, but we're expecting to see much more open games. Yesterday was a particularly open game.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean. He came in and said that he likes to play expansively, but making the subs to, instead of it being as a let's sit behind the ball and try and protect the point, it'll be a case of, okay, we'll sit behind the ball, but as soon as we're going to get that chance, we're just going to attack them. And bringing Brandon on with a pace and Jacko with his late sort of runs into the box, it was a case of him just going, right, okay, we know they're coming at us, but we're going to send them messages saying you can do what you want, but we're going to ask them stuff if you push too many people forward. And he obviously pushed them back, and then obviously Paddy got sent off, and we had to probably just have to contain it in the end. But it is good that, like you said, that he's trying to still try and win the game, even though we're away from home and it's 0-0. It's just not a case of, right, let's just sit behind the ball and protect this 0-0 draw.
Yeah. Now, Patrick Bauer, let's say, sent off there. He'd picked up his first yellow card midway through the second half. I can't remember exact minute. And then, as we're just popping into injury time, Nolte's breaking towards the edge of the box. We've all seen it. And he's not the ball past him, and he's going to go for on goal. So Bauer, I mean, you can argue it all you want. I think he knows what he's doing there. He's clearly trying to step across the man just to block him off. And Carl Robinson says that's a good red card. And that was a good red card, because it would have been such a shame to, you know, to lose that game 1-0. And people talk about gamesmanship or whatever, but sometimes you just have to do what you have to do for your team. And he did that.
Yeah, I call them tactical cards, because you'll see it in every sort of game. If you're like 30-odd, I know Paddy ain't, but if you're 30 and you're going to have a little whip it next to him and he's through on goal, you're going to take him out. You'd rather take a yellow card than them score. I'd call him a tactical yellow. And yeah, I think Carl was right. It was the right thing for the team. Yeah, like you said, professionally, maybe not. You're not probably supposed to admit that. But yeah, it was. It was the right thing to do.
Yeah, Roland, time to go on to it. It says Phillips was excellent again. That's Dylan Phillips. Yeah. It says, and Bauer, what a great sending off. In the words of Carl Robinson's, not mine. Yeah. In the words of Shaking Stevens. Sebo says the away stand at Bradford seemed like it was made from Meccano, which he did, looking at it from a distance. And then Roland, time to go, also says, really like what I see so far of Robinson. Very open and likes to talk to the fans by the looks of it, and attacking football. We'll come on to that in a bit, because I actually spoke to Carl Robinson twice on the record yesterday, which is completely unheard of, apart from that time Russell Slade did his post-match interview, then saw a replay or something where we might have had a penalty, and then came out and did another one because he wanted to moan about the ref, even though we'd already done the interview and hadn't even seen it. Marion said, listening to Charlton Live, couldn't listen in yesterday, so don't know much about the game other than the result. Pretty much the same as Nathan, really. It was 0-0, Marion, but it was an excellent game of football. It was really entertaining. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you'd accept a 0-0 sometimes when I'm sure we've all seen some terrible 0-0s in our time, but we've actually had quite a few decent ones. I think Scunthorpe away this season was a 0-0, quite a good one. This one up on Tuesday was a good 0-0. You can watch a game of football that ends 0-0 and quite enjoy it, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got two teams that are going to try and get the points, then obviously it'll be nice and entertaining. But yeah, I'm not sitting here, and I remember the first time we were in League One, and I think it was Oldham or something. It was on a Tuesday night, and it was probably one of the worst football matches I've ever, like, they couldn't trap a bag of cement, they couldn't do anything. Luckily we're going to have, it seems that way, that if we do get a 0-0, it's not going to be for the want of trying, or us trying to create things and try different things. So, but yeah,
especially at times in that second half, I mean, particularly in the first half, but in that second half where we're under pressure, but then when we won it, we were looking to counter so many times. There was one time where Phillips got the ball actually, and he was looking for an option, and there was space out on this left wing, and Botarka wasn't running into it. And both Nuge and Robinson were fuming with him, because they want this fast attacking football, and on that particular occasion they didn't. Dylan didn't get the chance to throw it out to Pataka because he didn't move into that space. But you can see every time we won that ball, we were looking to move with it, passing it well. There was this one fantastic ball from Teixeira out the back that set up an attack. But so many times we're just a long, flat, incisive pass, and that got us going, and people overlapping. It certainly was like you could feel the excitement as that was building. Right, so after yesterday's game, Carl Robinson was just as we were setting up, I was sort of asking what he made of it, and he clearly enjoyed himself. He seemed very happy as well with the performance of the side. So this is Carl Robinson there. Don't forget, on tonight's show, there's a few topics we're going to talk about. But first of all, we want you guys to let us know what you made of yesterday's game. So you can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. Let us know what you made of yesterday's game. Let us know what you make of this interview with Carl Robinson. And you can also, if you want to add your tuppence onto anything else, we're talking about what football collectibles you've got. I've got a mug collection from every club I go to, apart from the obvious ones. I refuse to get one from MK Dons or from Palace or from Millwall, but I've got a mug from every other club I've been to recently. So let us know what sort of tat you collect. And also, we spoke about the return to the Valley on Thursday night show, because the anniversary of that was last week. But if you've got anything to add from that, if you've got any memories you wanted to share from that particular day, because that was obviously a very special day, get those in studio@charltonlive.co.uk. But like I said, me and Tel, we caught up with Carl, the new Addicts manager, Carl Robinson, after yesterday's goalless draw with Bradford City, and he seemed like a proud man.
Carl, goalless draw here at Valley Parade, what did you make of that?
First half, we were upstanding. I thought we should have had a penalty after 7 minutes. When the big man's come inside, you can clearly see there's contact on it. But all in all, the players were superb. I just said before we come on air here, to no Declan Rudd, no Sully, no Fox, no Pierce after 2 minutes, no Adam Ola Luckman, no Ricky Holmes. And we still came here to win. And even with 5 minutes to go, I'm more disappointed second half. I don't think we played our way second half. I thought the way we passed the ball first half was excellent, aggressive through the thirds, and picked them off at will at sometimes. Josh McGuinness was superb for that first 45, and unfortunately didn't get that goal that he deserved. But then from then on in, I thought second half it was just about roll them sleeves up and fight for your club. And I think every single one of them, well, every sub that we made was an attacking one. We brought Xhaka on to go 4-3-3. And then we bring off, obviously, Jordan later on, and we try and put Brandon on to try and get us a goal. So I don't think many teams would come here with the players we've got out to try and win. And even when we're under pressure, to still be trying to be on the front foot. And I think the response that we got off the fans at the end, I think, because they seen that. They knew we weren't just happy to just, oh, I'll be honest, I was happy to take a point when we went down to 10 men. my thought process definitely changed then. But other than that, the players, I can't ask no more. I really, really can't.
You must have thought things were conspiring against you with all the illnesses you had and then Pierce going off in the first half. So the way your side reacted to that.
If you want to sulk, yeah. So it's time for sulking. It's time for positivity. It's time for forward-thinking mentality. It's a sign for you seeing it. I get in amongst it. Hopefully fans can see. I've only been here for 2 weeks, but they can see what I just love football, and I love being at this football club. I was getting changed this morning, and there was a mirror, and I looked really fat in it. But I just seen my tracksuit, and I sort of went, oh, it's wow. It still doesn't really. It's not really got to me. And I looked this morning, but this is a special thing to be a part of. And I think you can see there's a youth enthusiasm in the group. And to have so many players out, but to tactically get it right and to be aggressive in all of our thought processes.
With all the chances you had in the first half, at the other end, when Phillips was called upon, he made some good saves.
I just
today.
Said to him there, he's unlucky, isn't he? Because he's probably the best goalkeeper in the league, is Declan Rudd. Best keeper in the league. And it's hard to play second fiddle to that. But then when you come in, you've got to perform like you have. And he has been superb. His kicking, his talking, his self-confidence, his shot-stopping. The kid, they keep him brilliant. And I'm so proud of him.
How is Jason Pearce? That looked like possibly a groin injury early on.
It's not good. It's not good.
No.
Listen. I don't have any degrees to talk to you about physio side of the game, so I'm not going to clue. He's not got a sore groin. And the physio had a bit of a face on, so it can't be a good one either. So we'll wait and see. We'll listen, as you well know, immediately after the game, no one quite knows what it is, and it has to settle down. Maybe it's a Monday or Tuesday we speak again, that we can give you a fair reflection of how bad, or hopefully how not so bad it is.
Bradford's home form is very good, so to come here and get something is a good result.
Yeah, but the players, we said all week, we're here to win. We've said that to you, we've said that in the dressing room. I think you can see, if we all believe it, we can achieve great things. We've gone up a place in the league, but we've gone points further away. But the team that is sick, we play them next in the league. So this is to come into this club, probably the most difficult batch of games we've had. The news at the Sheffield United game, coming away to a team that's never been beat here. To play a team is probably one of the most formed teams in the league in Peterborough. Then obviously you've got the derby the following week. Then it's MK Dons. We've got new manager. I think they've won today against AFC Wimbledon. So it's a difficult time to come in. There's no games anyone can look at. But it's a great time to come in, because any time you come into this football club, there's always got to be a good time.
So you've been through the emotions today, and it's probably going to be an interesting day for you on Tuesday, going back to MK.
No, not really, because I think I think everyone knows this is where I am now, and the people at MK Dons, I don't think they'll care too much about me after beating AFC Wimbledon today.
Thank you. You mentioned that we've had this illness ripped through the camp in the week. It's affected your team selection, of course.
Yeah.
But the players that have come in did a sterling job.
Yeah, I made it. You can see I've got a bit of it as well. It's just because they've worked so hard all week, and obviously, as you well know, when you're in a football club, they're so confined to certain spaces that if one person gets it, it just spreads right the way through. It's been hard, but the players' mentality is for me to wake up yesterday morning and say, Adamo, Luckman's not travelling. Doesn't get much worse than that, does it? But I think the performance the lads have put in for the ones who sat at home today, they'll look at this. All the players who haven't played, they'll look at this and go, yeah, well done, thank you. Because when I come back, we're going to build on it. And that's the important one.
But it's worth the fans knowing that players like Josh McGuinness, Nicky Ajoze and Lee Novak all had this illness and are all basically travelled with it still.
And Patrick Bauer as well. He, before the game, the fans will tell you we were here. I had to speak to him before the game. He felt dizzy, he felt lethargic. And the man was a rock today. I know he got sent off at the end, but don't mind that. It was a good sending off. Can I say that?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Well done, Patrick. Yeah.
You've got to do it again, of course, for Tuesday night. We're going to, with Patrick Power going off now, you've got to shuffle again.
Yeah, listen, I think the fans will appreciate there's no harder time to come in with the difficulties that we're having behind the scenes. And for once, it's not it's now on the pitch that we're having these difficulties in relation to one or two injuries and illnesses. But it's when you've got to enjoy it. But to come to the Valley today, and it's a valley, we went in the Valley. We come to Bradford today, I can't wait to get back to the Valley. We come to Bradford today, and to perform like we did, I think the players deserve a pat on the back to come through it. I said to them, listen, that shirt's going to miss. The people who have travelled here, they support this club so much. And you see at the end, they got them in, and every player went and clapped the fans. It's important that there's a connection. You can see what we're trying to build. It's an oil tank in some ways that we're trying to turn. It's not a little tiny speedboat you can just put your hand on and change direction immediately. It's a slow burner. It's one that we have to work hard to turn the direction of that. And hopefully the first port of call for everything is a work ethic and a natural enthusiasm and a desire to play for your club and make the badge mean something and the fans proud. And I think today, I don't think many fans will go away too disappointed with the performance. A horrendous 48 hours. But we've come here and show real quality, I think.
You mentioned timescales, you mentioned it's a long job. Are you the sort of person that sets yourself timescales? That you can tell us about, at least.
Yeah, I do. 3-4 years. I want to be here for a long time. I really do. I want to, as we've openly said as a club, I want to get past 500 here. And that'll be my objective. And do you know how you do it? Win games of football. And if you don't win, do what you've just done today. And fans can accept performances like that.
Well, congratulations on it. It wasn't a win, but well done for
Celtic. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Cousins, lovely ball into the path of Goodmanson. Can he take his man on? He does. He's trying to be pulled back, but he's in the area. The ball across the Benegaide! And there's a goal! Joel had the lead again. Super work, firstly from Henderson, and rolled it out to Cousins, who did a pinpoint pass into the path of Goodmanson. And instead of Goodmanson going on his own, a slide rule ball across the penalty area picked out Benekele, who buried his chance, and Charlton a 2-1 up.
Charlton live.
From the home of time, this is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Murphy. He'll wind himself up for the shot. Ramadan. He can hit it. He can win it for Charlton Athletic. Dennis Ramadan has arrived in England at last. Would you believe it?
So I think I quite like the idea of playing classic goals on the show every now and then. Tom done it when he hosted it a few weeks ago, didn't he? The El Kakori free kick. And
He's proper man love for Kakori.
Yeah. So I think we might do a bit of that. Right, that was, what's his name? Carl Robinson speaking to me and Tell after yesterday's game. Just whilst that was going on, I just noticed that Kyle Andrews has got a new cat and he's called it Yan. Which is, I'm looking at that thinking, that's a classic name for a cat, that is. My cat's called Solly, so you've got to name a cat after a Charlton hero. But then Carl's just tweeted me, guess what the cat used to be called when it was in the home? Louis. So if you're going to name it after a Charlton hero, why do you need to change it from Louis?
That's exactly. Yeah. Need to try and get everyone to have a cat and have like the starting 11 of that
yeah,
season.
Starting 11, and then, yeah.
We should get them all together, like a little meet.
And then put them out in the Checker Trade Trophy next season, yeah. Right, so yeah, Carl Robinson there. Now, people probably listen to the interviews that we've had off Carl so far. And they're probably thinking, wow, that enthusiasm, that's really coming through. But they're probably thinking in the back of their mind, is that his media personality. Every time I've spoken to him, that's exactly how he is. He can, like, he's enthusiasm. It doesn't feel forced at all. His enthusiasm for the game, his love for the game, his excitement of being here at Charlton, it really shines through, both on and off the record. I imagine people are taking to him quite a lot now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he sounds like a school kid.
Yeah.
He sounds like it's the biggest job that he's ever had, and it might well be a fair play to him. But when you have someone who comes in with so much enthusiasm and positivity, it's infectious, and it will rub off on the players, it will rub off on the fans, and it's a way that every question that he answers, they're perfect in the way they're said and what he's trying to say, because it makes everyone believe on where we're trying to get to, and there's this I can't explain it. It's like confidence. So even though yesterday the sort of illness that went around, and last year we'd have been dreading, oh, here we go, 5-0 or something. But you still got that enthusiasm, positive, going, oh, we might actually do something here. And it's a bit weird how it's changed from about, like, what, since the last month.
Yeah, well, I guess that positivity that comes through in terms of interviews and that sort of thing, but he also has to translate that into, well, he does translate that into the way his sides play football.
Yeah.
Now, I was speaking to Carl. I'll play you one we did before the game yesterday in a minute, because that's another talking point, because I thought that was quite interesting as well. But I was speaking to him after that, and I just sort of mentioned to him, it must have been funny for you last week against MK, particularly in the first half where they were playing this incisive, counter-attacking, pacey football. And I said to him, that must have been quite funny. It's almost like you're being beaten by your own philosophy in that first half. And he said, yeah. He's like that. That's the way he likes to play football. MK still have that mentality, and that's what we're going to start to get. And we had that particularly in the first half yesterday, but it spells in the second half as well. And that's why it's good to see. Now I tweeted out asking what fans have made of Carl so far. And Keith says, personally, I'm very impressed with his passion, desire, openness, and enthusiasm. Just hope he's allowed to do the job. And that, of course, is the question now. It will always be the question after what's happened over the last 3 years. Don't forget, Carl's our eighth manager, and a lot of people felt positive about some of the stuff that Russell was coming out with early on. And it's always at the back of your mind, you know. We hope that Carl's going to be given he might need a 5-game spell. He might be thinking, I need four weeks to get this into my team, and that's completely acceptable. And you know, I know we're all football fans, we want to win every game, but sometimes it does take 3 or 4 weeks to change a mentality, to change a playing style. And therefore, at the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, if he loses his next 3 games, is Roland going to be thinking, oh, well, I've made a wrong decision here?
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. So for him to come in and put his philosophy and his stamp on to a group of players that have obviously, through pre-season and the beginning of this season, have been told a way of playing, which is chalk and cheese between Russell and Carl in terms of their
definitely.
Setup. So if we've got a squad that are probably set up to be in a way the way that Russell played, so maybe a month, I'd even give him beyond the transfer window, because he still needs to get a few players for him to sort of put his real stamp on this squad. But yeah, I mean, so if once we give him that time, I think it will pay dividends. Whether or not he does or not, we always say we don't know. We hope he does, but it would be crazy if they didn't. But again, you just don't know, do you?
Yeah.
But
it was funny. We were talking about this on the way back yesterday. When you go to an away game like up at Bradford, you're miles away from here. You're miles away from even thinking about the Belgians. All you're thinking of is, right, I want to get 3 points here today. You're dealing with Carl Robinson, who, like I say, is infectious, as you said. He's really, his enthusiasm, it really came across when he was speaking to us after the game. Even like while we're waiting for George to set up the camera, we're sort of chatting, and he's just like that off camera as he is on camera. And you sort of, all you're thinking about is, This is a good chance. It all felt right yesterday. And obviously lingering far at the back of your mind, but it's so much easier when it's an away game, and that's sort of an afterthought, and you can just try to enjoy the 90 minutes.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's I mean, obviously, I've not met him yet, but it's just the way. Yeah, I mean, if he's like that off camera, like you said when he was setting up the camera, now it's just I don't know, because you never really see managers that so enthusiastic. Yeah. Moosey, they're quite miserable, aren't they?
Yeah,
but
give him 6 weeks here. But yeah. No, I mean, hopefully it will last, and I'm sure it will. Ray Pavin says it's the first Charlton game for a long time that I enjoyed both being at. Both teams played football, ending goalless was not a disappointment. Pedro Rock, Pete said, I like Carl Robinson. He sounds really up. He said he was good on Five Live on Friday. I haven't actually. Did you?
No, I heard it. I see it on the forum, but I didn't have a chance to listen to it. I don't know if there's another recording on though. I haven't really checked.
Yeah, it'll be there somewhere.
But again, it is another sort of aspect where he comes across really positively. So
trying to dig that one out. Brian Haynes says, the more I hear of Carl, the more I like him. Open, enthusiastic, supportive of players, and has a sense of fun as well. Ran out of time to go, says, did we listen to the Five Live? Really good to hear. Carl is going to speak to season ticket holders, and I assume he's put card there. So like I say, I haven't actually heard it yet, but it'll be something to listen to. Brian Haynes replying to Marion says, let's hope that Carl doesn't get beaten down by the time of the club here. And Brian says, absolutely, I'm almost scared to be optimistic these days. And you can, I fully understand that. But let's hope not. Daniel says, never been more impressed with interviews and press conferences by a Charlton manager, certainly from this early on, of Carl Robinson. Now Sue says that she's got a cat also named after a player, a cat called Kinney after Mark Kinsella. So we're getting there. That's our
midfield. We'll get there. We've got three so far.
We've got Jan up front. We've got
Kinney in the middle.
Central midfield.
Sol's at right back.
Solly at right back. Right. Can we make a cat 11 from the named cats?
I used to have a cat called Skulls, but it didn't play for Charlton, so I can't really count. And it's dead, so I can't really do it.
Yeah. Well, some of our midfielders are in the day. Right. Now, something else that happened yesterday. Now, this is something that's not happened to us before, as far as I know, especially not since I've been doing this sort of stuff. When I spoke to Carl after the MK Dons Cup game, he sort of mentioned just before we went on that, he was saying to Ollie, at my old club, we used to speak to the BBC before the game and let them know how I'm going to set up. And he was saying this in front of me. I was like, I'll be bang up for that because, you know, I have to do team news on air and for Richard as well. So I need to know what his ideas are. And then I sort of arranged it with Ollie and Carl yesterday before the game. I'm going to speak to him. Ollie filmed it as well, so it went up on the Charlton Twitter account. So it was out there. We put it on BBC Radio London Audio Boom account. Charlton put it on their Facebook and Twitter account and whatnot. So all these sort of things, actually, it was all out there, and Carl sort of explained what he wanted to do before the game. So let me play you that interview first, and you can see he was explaining to the Charlton fans his setup before, and then we'll talk about what you thought of that idea, and hopefully it's what, in my opinion, hopefully it's one that's going to continue. Carl, what's your starting lineup for today's game at Bradford City?
A lot different to what it was the other day. In some ways, we've got Dylan in goal. We've got Constance come back in at right back after he's been fine all week. We thought that was an important one for us. Foxy's not made it, he's ill. Some personal things and illness that he's got. So Chixon comes in for him at left back. The two stalwarts at the back in Pierce, who's been outstanding. And obviously Bauer, who was so impressive. He's been ill as well. But he's come through it, thankfully. In midfield, you've got, I think, in there, when you look like Freddie and Crofty. Luckily, they've been away. They've stayed away from everything, and there's where the change starts to happen. We're going to play with Jordan on the right, but playing very, very narrow. We're going to also go with Nicky on the left, playing narrow, so almost like a foot in between the 10 and the 11 positions. We're going to play a bit of an old-fashioned system with the inside left and inside right formation, and playing both foot strikes up front in Novak and McGuinness, playing very high. So it's a very aggressive team. People will say, we'll look at it and say, we'll come in here. Playing with all them strikers, a team that haven't been beaten, it shows the mentality that I want to bring to the football club. But on top of that, we can also spin it to a 4-3-3 as well. So all these illnesses have happened so late. So yesterday we worked on that system, then we also worked on another system in a sort of 4-3-3. And if we'd go to that during the game, it would be Crofty will sit with Freddie and Jordan as two high players, and then we'll go with the front three across the top with Nicky, Lee, Novak and McGuinness, and depending on what side they're more offensive, Nicky will play on that side. So we've done an awful lot of work in a period of time. The players turn up here full of confidence. Obviously the illnesses that have gone through the camp and one or two injuries we've got, you come here without Holmes or Sully, without Dett and Rudd, you're looking now with no Ademola here. So there's so many players that haven't made Foxy, who's been forever present for a long period of time. But what I see it as an opportunity for me, so I'm getting to see all my squad in a different way. But I'm really excited by this challenge, and it's going to be a difficult one. The players know. I think 5 wins and 5 draws here, and we have said all week about, I think, 16, 17 of their goals, and 11 have been scored from across in some ways. I think there have been 6 from set pieces, first phase or second phase. So when you think and you look at that, you go, hang on, I think they've scored 26 or 27 goals. So they've only scored 10 from open play. It's important that we understand the fundamentals of where they scored their goals. And we've worked really hard. I'm really excited by it. And you can see the detail has gone into it. But we're ready. And a few young players have travelled, a young bench in some ways. We've got Aribo here, who's not made the squad, but brought him here because hopefully he'll play some minutes on Tuesday in the FA Cup. And but we're ready and ready to go. And we're looking forward to the challenge.
All the best today.
Thank you so much.
So there we go, that was Carl Robinson speaking to me before the game yesterday. Now, that's unusual. You don't often see managers doing that. What did you make of that decision, Nate, for him to come and speak to me before the game to explain his policy? I'm hoping it's going to be something that happens every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. So, you know, it's another way of communicating with everyone and just that showing that bit of transparency. It's not some sort of big secret of... You know, he's already handed in his team sheet, I assume. So it's nice, big.
Well, he almost had. He was still, while we were speaking off after the interview. Ollie had to cut that short because Carl had forgotten to hand in the team sheet.
Oh, right.
Ollie was like, "Carl, you got to hand that in." He was like, "Oh yeah, sorry." So that was quite funny. But yeah, that story doesn't go out until the team news is out.
Exactly, yeah. So I mean, it's not a lot that it's not very often that other teams do it, but it's no hindrance to anything. You know, it's just being trying to be open.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And transparent, because you're going to ask him the questions after anyway about tactics if he didn't go to plan or whatever. But yeah, I think it's a good thing. It's great if once it's put out there. I think it's got another. Again, it just shows him how he wants to do things nowadays. And I just think it was a nice little touch.
It could also be his way for, say, for example, say he was doing what Russell was doing and not playing someone like Jordan who is looking good. It'll come out and say Russell, before every game, would come out and said, "This is my lineup, this is what I'm going to do." And he explains why so-and-so's in the team. I want to be slightly more balanced in midfield, blah, blah, blah. Whatever he did, then at least you'd have the reasoning, rather than just someone going, "Why is he not playing Jordan again?"
Yeah.
You know, he would have sort of been explained as well, which would have been... possibly something that where a manager can get his ideas out there. Now, Roger Trask has just said, "Louis, I had a goldfish named Boulder after Super Bob." So now we're actually getting the backbone. Although I don't think fish actually have backbones, but we're getting the backbone, the spine of a decent pet 11 here now. So we've got Boulder in goal. We've got
Solly the cat,
right
back.
Back.
Yeah, Kins in the middle. So Kinsella, what was Kins? A cat?
Kins, well. Yeah, Kins was a cat. That was Sue's cat.
Kins the cat. So we're going to go. I'm just doing my little drawing now. Look how nice that is, mate.
Oh, nice.
Got a nice little pitch and everything. So, yeah, we've got everywhere else, really. So we've got right back, centre mid.
Jan the cat up front.
Oh, yeah, we've got Jan up there.
Jan the cat up front. And now Marco's just tweeted in he had a guinea pig called Kerbishly. Which was a bit, he says, is a bit of a boring pet, to be honest.
Well we can put him on the. I'll put him in a little dugout.
Yeah. Well, are we going to? I mean, if we're desperate, I think Curbs
can go in the middle.
I think he played in midfield.
Yeah. So he can go in the midfield if we need to.
Yeah. Right. Running time to go confirmed. Apparently, on the 5 Live interview, Carl said he'd be happy to speak to the CAS Trust, so the China Athletic Supporters Trust, rather than Card. And he said, "Do you think Kane would let him speak to Card? You're crazy." That's true. Right, Tim Ruffle says, "Like the 7 others before him, Carl seems upbeat, determined, it usually takes a few weeks for Roland's policies to sink in. Sue says you can't help but like Carl, and she can't wait to meet him. Jimmy C said, I used to have a cat called Colin. I like to think it's because I knew Colin Walsh would soon play for Charlton. But you can't predict that Colin Walsh is going to play, so I don't think we can count that in the Pet 11.
No. We've got rules and regulations down here, so we can't use that one.
Jim says, next time you interview Carl, can you ask him if he's received the copy of the Jimmy Seed story I left for him? I'll probably forget to do that, but I can try and remember. You can remember to do that on Tuesday.
What's that?
You've got to ask him if the
Jimmy Seed thing.
If he's got Jimmy the Jimmy Seed story. That Jim Dutton's there for him. Right. Now, Matthias, who was up at Bradford yesterday, I'm sorry I couldn't come and see you before the game, Matthias, but I was having incredible issues with my ICN kit, which kept cutting out. I ended up having to share a desk with Terry. Couldn't think of anything worse. I had to share a desk with Terry in the end to sort that out. He said, great point yesterday. Carl Robertson has brought much needed energy. Big shout out for Phillips, who played great in between the sticks. And now Mark has suggested a formation for the... what formation do you think we should be playing with a Pet 11?
Has he got a clever one?
Yeah, Mark wants us to play Fur 2.
Well, yeah, we will do that, because I was doing 4-4-2 anyway. I thought he was being serious. I thought he was going to come up like a diamond or so. I was like, I don't know. Wingbacks.
Your wingbacks, yes. Chickens.
There you go.
Right. Now,
Chickson.
A man who might have made the Animal 11, if you're ever so slightly hard of hearing, Adam Chickson. He came out to speak to Terry and myself after yesterday's game. You'll hear midway through the interview, George, one of the club's media guys, wrote a little fact on his phone and showed it to me. And because I didn't trust him, I blamed George just in case it turned out he was wrong. But he was right anyway. But this is Adam Chickson speaking to us after yesterday's draw with Bradford City.
Joined by Adam Chickson. And Adam, thrown in at left back. How did you find the game?
I found the game, I thought we had the energy that we needed, going forward. I thought we broke quickly, we had a game plan, we worked on it all week, and I thought we executed it down to a T. If those chances go in the first half, it's basically a perfect game plan.
You had some illness in the camp, which chucked you in at left back.
Yeah.
Sterling performance. Yeah. You must be pleased with the way you.
Yeah, I mean that goes around the whole team. The lads who have stepped in. We're all here to do the job when we come in. We need to be ready. That comes from in training the whole week. You've got to be ready to step in. If someone drops out on a Friday, that's just how it is. And if you're ready, then you're ready to put in a good performance.
Up against Mark Marshall, who's a decent winger and will cause defences a lot of problems in this league. You must have been pleased with the way you handled it.
Yeah, I was very pleased. But that goes around the whole team. That means that's from the front. And that goes not just for me. That's Esri at the back. That's a whole back four and our keeper. It's not just me. I've done my job with him. But I thought around the whole pitch, you could have named 11 players that played well today.
Must be difficult to analyse when you're playing, but from the sidelines, an entertaining 0-0.
Yeah, very entertaining. That's a good thing about it. You do see us. We were on top. I felt it like we were going to get chances. I felt solid at the back with the other lads next to me. And from there you can build on so much having a performance like that.
Physical presence out front that was always going to put us under pressure.
Yeah.
And we lost obviously Jason Pearce very early on. Still managed to settle down at the back, and Tesh came in and did well.
Again, that's from the lads knowing their jobs. That's not just the lads starting. That's the lads out the team. We all know our jobs if we were to come in. And Percy's unlucky to drop out so early on, but Tex, stepped in. He was great as well.
You must have felt a little bit unlucky to not play after a good performance at the Bristol Rovers. Yeah. But a new manager now. How's things been since Carl's coming?
Yeah, he's been great. He's got a real direction of where he wants to go with us, and the lads have understood that straight away. We've got right on board. We've worked hard in training. That's everyone. And personally, myself, I just get my head down in training, make sure I'm on it every day, and ready for when he does call upon me.
Well, congratulations today. Great.
Yes, coach. Thank you. Thank you. Cheers.
Adam, George tells me that you've worked under the manager before.
Yeah.
From what you've worked with him before, what sort of things do you expect?
Yeah, no, he's got such enthusiasm. When he first came in with me, obviously he was a new manager on the scene, and that enthusiasm, it hasn't gone. He gets the lads going. He knows where he wants to be, how he wants to play, and as a team, that's what you need. You need one direction going forward, and that's what we've got.
Do you think you're going to find it going back to MK then, and Carl as well?
I've had my eye on it, and we've got him so many times in the next couple of weeks. So for me, if I make selection, I'll be buzzing to get back and play at Stadium MK.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Great Herb Grant. Can he get across into the middle? He can. There's Cousins to the far post. Yeah! Cousins to the far post. With a goal. Yeah! In the 96th minute.
Charlton Live.
So welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. Louis Mendes and Nathan Muller in the studio here at the Valley. Currently building a Pet 11, Nathan.
Who's a... What was the one you just said? I just forgot.
Right, so we've just got... So during the break, we've had... Dan Sheeder's got a cat called Bailey. So yep. That's Nicky Bailey in the central centre of midfield.
Yep.
Then Ray Bates, who has also got a dog called Bailey. So Bailey the cat and the dog. Yep. He's in there twice. But he's also got... We said these are German Shepherd dogs, I think. It's one called Zena. Don't know when he played for us. One called Pal. Is it called Zena Powell? All right, that one's called Zena Powell. We'll count that as Powell.
Yeah.
So the left back is Powell the dog. You've also on left midfield, you've got JJ the dog. Or do you want to play him as Ray? Is he named after the striker JJ, or is he named after the how old do dogs live?
I don't know.
Let's assume 10 that's years. Johnny Jackson.
Yeah, we assume it's Johnny. Yeah.
So we'll put him on the left.
I've already wrote it down. I got rubber.
And he's got Valley as well. So they're playing at the Valley.
Yeah.
They're playing at the dog, and he's got Bailey as well, which we've already mentioned there. So that's some more. Pets for the Pet 11. So what positions do we need filling now?
So all I've got left is who's the hamster one you said?
Oh, and so my other half used to have a hamster back in the day called Clive, after Clive Mendonca.
Yeah, we could have that.
Yeah, so do we still need a striker?
No, so if we put Clive in there, we just need two centre-halves and a right midfielder.
Yeah, all right.
So if anyone's got someone called Sam as a cat, we can have it as Lloyd Sam.
Yeah.
So someone must have a cat or a dog called Sam.
Was no one ever named a... Who did we used to have on right midfield?
Lloyd Sam, Scott Wagstaff.
Yeah. Someone must have a dog named after Waggy. Waggy Tail. So that would make sense.
Clive the guinea pig.
Clive the hamster.
Oh, sorry.
Sadly moved on, passed on Clive the hamster, but... so it's Clive the real footballer retired, so it's the same thing, really. Right, so that was Adam Chickson there. He's coming at left back for the ill Morgan Fox, and looked really solid yesterday. I thought he played really well. What have you made of? I mean, the likes of it. He talks about there how he has to come into the starting lineup at late notice following the illness to Morgan Fox, and that can't be easy for him, though, can it?
No, it can't. And that's I said it earlier. It was a testament to all the players that were, put in different positions, and they've worked all week on a situation, especially with Pierce going off. Set pieces. Pierce has obviously had to mark someone defending him and worked on attacking the set pieces, and then within 2 minutes it's all gone up the creek. So so it was going to be a bit of disruption. So it was a testament to all of them that even Chickson, who's been a bit part player, to come in and get a decent solid result away from home against a decent side.
Right, Lewis Wheeler says, shows how highly most of the football world thinks of Carl Robertson. What other League One manager would be on Five Live for an hour? And I'm assuming it was on the Friday Night Club. Well, and I do know they get managers in and they sit there with him for an hour. I mean, it's often the Premier League manager. So perhaps you're right that in terms of a League One manager, there does seem to be a lot of interest in Carl, because if you're an outsider looking in, after what he did at MK Dons, it's very rare to see a manager stay at a club for 6.5 years these days. So to see what he did at MK Dons for that amount of time, it probably is quite of interest to the football world to see what Carl Robertson does next. And then when you add it into the fact that he's gone to manage Roland du Châtelet's Charlton, that's probably turned it into quite a big story.
Yeah, it has. And he's obviously done a good job at MK. He was there for a long time. He plays attractive football. He's he brought through Brandon Galloway and Dele Alli, who's obviously, especially Alli's gone on to bigger and better things. So he's going to have that recognition in terms of the football community and what he's doing. And obviously coming to Charlton, apart from the sort of ownership sort of thing, it's still a big club in League One, and it's obviously a project and a challenge that he's really looking forward to. So I think he's really sort of well thought of, and he's young as well. He's only a couple of years older than Jacko, and he's only like 30.
Yeah, 36.
So that's right. He's crazy. He can still play. Well, maybe not now. He could go and goal or something as an emergency. Yeah. Just stand there.
He might make the Animal 11, maybe. But right, Sebo says, I wasn't keen on Carl Robertson when he was at MK Dons, but he's grown on me in the fortnight that he has been here. First gaffer since Sir Chris Powell to talk well of what he wants for the club. Now, that's the point that a lot of people have said, because I know it's... a lot of people before Carl, when Carl was at MK Dons, seemed a bit down on him. Now, I was trying to think what the reasons for that would be. Now, people say, I remember Tom was saying that he apparently used to come out and blame the referees, a lot of that sort of thing. I think, for me, the fact that he was ever tied with MK Dons, which is a club that a lot of people don't really respect, that probably had a big bearing on it as well. The fact he is quite outgoing, that can grate on people as well. But once he's one of you, once it's your own doing
it, changes,
that,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it all changes, doesn't it? And then you listen more to what he says, and you think, actually, he's very enthusiastic, and he's, you know, his excitement is starting to rub off on the players.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's when we was talking about if there was the potential he was going to come. I couldn't really say that I didn't like him, because I've never really heard of anything. The only thing I remember him doing was when he sort of said that Sonogo should be banned for ages when he got sent off against MK. But
yeah,
apart from that, I've never really noticed him. I know he was at MK Dons, and he was a young manager, and he used to coach at Blackburn and Liverpool, but I didn't really know much of him to sort of gauge, have an opinion on him. But saying that, I didn't expect him to come in and be as infectious as that he has been.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a good appointment, but I didn't expect him to have this much of an impact straight away.
He's not gone on the defensive at all, no, which I've noticed. I think when Russell came in, and for all whatever happened, he did seem slightly, in terms of his playing style and the way he dealt with the media at first, he was defending. And that's probably a personality thing. It's nothing to do with the fact it's Charlton in this day and age. But Carl's not been like that, and that's why it's probably been easier for people to accept him.
Yeah, it would be easier to accept him and sort of approach him as well, even in terms of not fans and obviously staff, but just players, because I mean, we've still got quite a young squad, and I think he might be that little bit more approachable than previous managers. Like, where everyone could approach Powell.
Yeah.
And I think he's got that persona where the boys could approach him if they're not enjoying themselves or something. Do you know what I mean? I just think he's a lot more, I can't really put my finger on it, but he just seems a lot more approachable and seems a bit more.
He's very friendly with the players. I mean, anyone who saw that tunnel cam video they did, I five him, the MK players hugging Esri Konsa, I think it was, hugging Keith Peacock.
Did he play, did he?
He said he'd make the Animal 11 as well.
Right, Keith when?
Peacock, yeah.
If we're strong.
Has anyone got a peacock named after Keith Peacock?
Anyone got a peacock called Keith? Oh, now you mention it. Yeah. It's in the garden.
Yeah, right, Matthew said, my brother came along and really enjoyed the game yesterday, so I hope to see myself and Tell soon. Hopefully we will. Matthias, see you soon. Mike Tyson says, Tex and Bauer are best centre-back pairing by a country mile. How the hell Tex hasn't played this season, I will never know. See, I mean, that's where it's all about the competition at the back. See, I rate Jason Pearce. I know. I think he's a good-looking player. that would be a slip of the tongue there. He's a good player. He looks a good defensive unit. But we have got that. Like, that is definitely the one part of the field where we've certainly got a lot of competition.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I couldn't drop Pearce or Bauer. I don't think any of them done anything much wrong. I know Pearce gave away the penalty first game, but I think he's been great. I think he splits opinion, because a lot of people I see on Twitter just say, yeah, Bauer and Tech should be the first choice, but I think that's because
people are always going to be more receptive to having players they've seen play for longer before. So they saw Tex last season, they saw he's a decent player. So even if Pearce is playing quite well, they still think, well, I like Tex. That might be the way people view it. Finchie said he's getting ready to head to Scotland this evening, but if he had a pet dog, he would call it Jan, and it would be a lap dog. Which is a disturbing image, one of many that Pete Finch has sent into the show over the years. Glenn says, I had a cat called Clive, named after the one and only. So we've got Clive in a few times. Ray says, loving Carl Robertson, his enthusiasm is infectious, but like others, I think it's a matter of time before outside influences dictate. And that is the worry that we worry about, basically.
Yeah.
That is the worry. Noza says he's just tweeted us a photo of his dog, R.I.P., former dog, which was called Dino, after Dean Kiley. We're getting up a bench now as well. Lewis says, surprised that it's not most people's outlooks, that Nathan's perspective of how many Carl Robinson's interviews have Charlton fans actually seen and heard. So he's saying, like, why do people have these opinions before he came here? He said, yeah, maybe they were closet MK Don fans.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he's joking there, by the way.
I think people just had an opinion, probably just their perception of him from when he was at MK Dons, but yeah, I've never seen anything that I could really hate, but obviously some people did. So, but yeah, like, the main thing now is obviously he seems like he's growing on a lot of people. Yeah. Which is which is good.
He's got the first phase of it now, so he's come in. He's got a 2-0, so it's not bad results so far. Good performance second half against MK. Good performance throughout at Bradford City. Talk the talk so far, and now it's time to walk the walk. And you know, we started walking the walk. It's whether he can continue, and you know, if he's still coming out in 10 games time, and we've drawn every game 0-0, but he's come out all bubbly and you know enjoyable like that, then it'll be a different story. He's got the first part done, and now we'll start to work on the second part. He said after last week's game he's going to work every single hour, and then when you see him you sort of believe him as well, because you can see how enthusiastic he is, how much he loves. I mean that great quote from him yesterday when he was talking about the tracksuit. So I looked at myself in the mirror today, I'm looking fat, but I looked at the tracksuit and it's got the Charlton badge on it, and he's still thinking, wow, this is Charlton. It's a great thing to say, no matter whether if you think there is he's only saying it for effect, but when you're standing there talking to him, he genuinely does seem so excited to be at Charlton, and that is something that, you know, is what we need. We certainly need a lift around this club. We've known that for a long time. And Carl hopefully will be the man to bring it, and hopefully will be allowed to do it. But I've probably said that for the last 5. So we need a bit of a lift now. Hopefully this guy will be allowed to do it, and it never happened. But we'll see. Roland Time to Go says total opposite. Slade and Robinson. Slade was too negative and didn't seem approachable and always seemed to go on the defensive. Now Cheers has said, I've got a dog that was great at catching squirrels, mice and squirrels. He was a killer. That's one for the 70s and 80s CFC fans. But I don't think he was called Killer though, was he, Mark? See, he's trying to name it Derek House.
So we still need two centre halves and a right midfielder. So has anyone got a fish called Mark?
Mark Fish, yeah, see that would work. What else do we need? Right,
see, oh, so you got Mike Salmon. Oh, yeah, no,
Mike Salmon, there's a goalkeeper. Yeah.
Yeah, who's got a salmon fish called Mike?
Some very hardcore Charlton fans from back in the day. Right, we've got plenty of emails to come to in a little while. I'm going to have a quick break and I'm going to hop onto the emails. Don't forget, tonight's subjects are now, including, Nate, we want a pet 11 after it turns out there's plenty of Charlton fans out there who've named their pets after addicts players. So we need a right midfielder.
And two centre-backs.
Two centre-halves. We're talking about Charlton memorabilia that you collect. I've got a mug collection for football. So I buy a mug when I go to an away game now. Get one. Got a controversial one at Bradford City yesterday. They only had big ones. So I like to regulate the size of the mugs. But yesterday they only had a big one, so I had to buy a big one. So that's thrown that into chaos. But let us know what sort of memorabilia you collect. We're also going to let you know about a boat trip that's going to head over to AFC Wimbledon in February. And, of course, look ahead to Tuesday's Cup tie. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
He's gone for it, you know.
What a goal!
By Ahmed Kassi.
Oh,
that's almost at the halfway line.
Unbelievable strike.
That is outrageous. Right footed. Well, saw Ahmed Kassi's line. What a goal.
Charlton Live. So welcome back, Charlton Live, here on Maritime Radio. This is Louis Mendes, Nathan Miller in the studio here with me at the Valley. Right, we've got some emails to look at. A couple from last week as well. Our email system's playing up a bit. It's been a bit weird, so it doesn't refresh while we're here sometimes, so I don't see him until after the show. But Richard Church sent this last week. Says, hi all, I think that Carl Robinson has had to align himself with the owners in order to get the job. Nothing to be done about that, as they are the employers, and of course he has to be seen to be on their side, so to speak. He has to work hard to get me and others on side. Good luck to him. I hope he does it, but the jury is out at the moment. Let's see how he responds to the talks he was promising to have, because he did mention sort of last week that he was hoping to talk to protesting fans and find out what they're about. It sounds like he repeated that offer on Five Live on Friday night. I mean, I've quite happily put him in. I mean, I could help him choose fans to speak to if he wanted to, but you know, if he wants to get out there, I mean, he is very engaging. I'm sure fans have had photos with him and whatnot so far. I'm sure if you speak to him, he'd be more than happy to speak to you back as well. But
he seems, even when Pete saw him in the car park up at
up at Bristol Rovers.
Yeah, I mean, he seems quite approachable.
It turns out Pete promised he wasn't going to put those quotes on Twitter as well.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, so is that what Carl since said?
No, Pete told me.
Oh, right. At least he was honest after he'd done it.
Ray Blue Yonder says, hi all, enjoying the show as usual. So this is last week, but it says since the last few games since the end of last season to all this season. My Doris has her handbag searched every game upon entering towards the North Lower. Like Sue, she always gets searched at away games, whereas they seem to ignore me, except at Marseille, England-Russia game, where I had my prescription nasal spray and eye drops confiscated, despite Russian fans managed to get flares and a flare gun in, among other items. Oddly enough, hardly anyone or ourselves were searched last year at Wembley at the England v France friendly, although warned we would be given the horrors of the Paris attack previously. So, not sure the random searching is in fact random. Now, I mean, you do tend to get searched at a lot of games. I mean, this is something that's come up. I mean, I know obviously we've had, I mean, I don't think the searches here are anything to do with trying to stop people bringing in stuff to chuck on a pitch, because if they are, they're the worst searches ever, because people have been, Tom's the only person I've ever heard of anyone having taken something taken off him and stuff. So I think it is genuinely just in London at the moment, in any major city, and we saw what happened in Istanbul yesterday. Football stadiums are targets, and you know, I'm sure no one's going to look at Ray Blue Yonder's young daughter and think, oh, she might be dodgy, but that's not how it works. You search every bag. I don't think we've really got too much to worry about there. But
no, it's mainly bags, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
So it's like I came to a Charlton game and they searched my bag, and then I had air spray in it, and they nearly took that off me. But they said, no, don't worry. He said,
they said, if you need it to look that beautiful, you carry on, my friend.
He was a ball gazer, so
no jealousy played a part, yeah, which is good. Right, Jonathan Ackworth emailed last week saying we need to demo outside the FA. This will hit the media big time. Right, now on Thursday show, me, Tom and Nath looked back at the anniversary, the 24th anniversary of the return to the Valley on the 5th of December 1992. Now I was looking for the emails, and this was sent, annoyingly, this was sent during the show on Tuesday, because our email system's being a bit dodgy. I didn't actually see it till after. But anyway, this is my nemesis, Chiz, Mark Wilson. And I've already pre-read this one. There's no difficult words in it. But he says, right, in the late 1980s and the early 1990s, I worked in the Isle of Dogs in a place that has since become Canary Wharf. There were very few buildings, restaurants, pubs or shops in the area at the time. I would have lunch in my office staff canteen, but every couple of weeks or so, I would take a packed lunch to work, and at lunchtime, I would drive to the Blackwall Tunnel, go under the Thames and head to the Valley. At this time, Charlton were in exile at both Selhurst and Upton Park, but they were getting closer and closer to returning home. So I would park my car near the ground just so I could eat my lunch there while looking over the ground and see work taking place. In a quiet few minutes, I would remember the games that I had seen with my dad and remember the games my grandfather told me about and think about the games that I would eventually get to see in the future. I would also think about the stories my dad would tell me, especially about the friend my dad had who actually played for Charlton at the time. He would stand in the crowd cheering the team on, then meet his friend and get to talk to him about what it was like to play and how did he cope with having to mark Stanley Matthews. That's my story. It just shows how important the club is to me and has been to four generations of my family. It just shows how important it was to me just to be at the place I love so much, soaking up the memories and thinking about what might be ahead. But there is one more element to the story. Every single time I drove to the Valley to spend a few minutes at lunchtime soaking up the memories, there were other people there doing exactly the same thing. Every single time. I guess it's one of the reasons Charlton means so much to its fans. We can all see other fans for whom it is equally important. And that was an absolute cracker from Mark there. I mean, we talked about the memories and how people of our age group are so thankful to the people that fought to get the club back to the Valley. And then you can see from someone who's slightly older from us, Mark, and what it meant to him, his dad doing. What Mark's saying about coming to see the ground, I remember my dad used to bring me when it was being rebuilt and standing at the gates and looking through. I mean, I didn't come to a game until 1994, but I can remember coming to the ground before we came back and having a look at it. And that's why this, I mean, it's just one of the many reasons why this particular place is so special to us and to Charlton fans.
Yeah, so I mean, so look, unfortunately, you know, it was before my time, even though you said I was 42 or something. Was it you or Thomas who I was a bit older than I was?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a bit before my time. But yeah, like you said, it's obviously I owe those people a lot forever. So, but yeah, that email summed up quite nicely, and it just shows how powerful, you know, the club means to a lot of people, which, yeah, when things aren't going the way they should be, it's why people get so upset and frustrated with the predicament we're in at the moment. So, but yeah, it's just the case of hopefully we'll get to a stage one day when we're all in a nice, happy world, yeah, so to speak.
And hopefully Carl Robinson's a man to turn us around, eh?
Mm.
Pete Super Addict said, I was thinking of calling my pet ferret Airbus UK, but I don't suppose that's helpful. No, it's not. It might be if we were trying
that
to
could, right, that could be the sponsor.
Yeah, alright.
There you go.
Ferret, Airbus UK Ferret is the sponsor. Isn't that a Welsh team as well? There's a team named after him, isn't there? Will Bonin says, my son Rupert's name was almost called Rufus, but Rufus got demoted to middle name, then replaced with Robin. Sad time. See, you're a pushover, Will, I'm afraid. Shouldn't let it happen. And I saw that and I thought, oh, that's bad news. But then I saw an email that's coming from Paul Ronan and says, hi all, my brother has a dog called Rufus after Richard Rufus. So yes, we've got one, our first centre half is in there. Come on.
Rufus,
so
we just
need one more centre half and a right midfielder.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, let's not be too choosy. We're quite tactically knowledgeable, so we can have a left midfielder cutting in like an inside person.
We could play 4-3-3 as well.
Yeah, we could do.
Yeah, could play 4-3-3. So come on, we need a winger or another striker for the CFC pet 11. Back on the tweets, Marion says that Solly the Cat sounds more like a forward. Confusing. Nah, not a forward. I mean, she's an escaper, I found out today, hiding. And also says how stressful it is. It must be to get the wrong size mug, and I can confirm it. It left me torn there at Bradford City. I was trying to decide if I could cheat on the normal size mugs. John says, what about Katie the Squirrel, a nifty whinger, I mean winger. He's trying to talk about Katrine there. there was something actually, I mean, we can't go too much into detail on this because we don't really know any of the details apart from a very short snippet that someone's put on Facebook. But it would seem a fan's claiming that they spoke to Katrine on the train yesterday, and in the end she ended up getting off the train because she was not happy to be spoken to. I mean, did you see that? Were you surprised getting back on the trains now? And do you think fans have the right to go? I mean, if you go up to them and just say hello and ask some questions, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we don't know how he asked the question. We don't know if he had 15 pints, or he might. There's every single chance he went up there and went, hi, Katrine, I really hope you back this manager. But, you know, we don't know how it was said or what was said, but it sounds like I ended up with Katrine. Yeah, not too happy, and well, he said that she said don't come, but I mean we don't know if that's the case or not. But you know, were you surprised to see her interacting with fans on trains again?
I don't know. She's going to have to get there up this summer, and if she doesn't drive, excuse me, and it's easier for her to get a train, then that's up to her. I mean, I don't think I have any problem with anyone saying anything unless it's abusive.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I have no problem about people asking questions, but I think if it starts to get to a stage where it's like harassment, then obviously we don't want that, but everyone's entitled to ask her a question. But like you said, if it was asked like a normal question and then she's kicked off, but I don't know, I've not really read too much into it to form an opinion on it, but I don't see anything wrong with asking someone a question.
Yeah. Right, Flaggy on Twitter, everyone loves Flaggy. Whenever there's a big club statement, Flaggy's used as the picture, but now someone set up a Flaggy account and says, I have a pet rat that occasionally visits me exclusively during non-match days. Guess what his name is? He's confirmed, his name is Roland. Roland the Rat. Roland the Rat's not getting in the team, unfortunately.
I don't know if he can play white mid.
No. Wait, yeah, ask Thomas. Marco says, our guinea pig called Curvishly lived long enough to enjoy most of the Premier League years. We change pets every 6 months now, which I'm sure is a joke about the club changing managers all the time, but it could be animal cruelty from Marco there. We'll have to get the RSPCA round just to double check on that one. Can't take any chances. Seb says, with the way traffic is today, I don't think you could get from the Docklands to the Valley and back in a lunch hour, which is fair enough. When I saw that email, I thought, well, Chisler's done, made some good time there. Right, now I promised at the top of the show that I was going to let you know about a boat trip that was coming up. Anyone who's done, see, I've done a couple of them a few seasons ago. I did Fulham in the FA Cup. We all went on the boat from Greenwich to Putney, and then QPR, we all went from Greenwich to Westminster and yeah, got off and got the tube. Now, Jim Howard, who arranges these boat trips, and be aware that if you're going to go on the boat trip, you have to understand it's not a river cruise to look at the sights. It is a bar and a disco, and it is like if you want to be included in that sort of thing. So don't go on there thinking you're going to go sightseeing. Just know this is a great trip. I loved it the two times I went.
Yeah,
you get on. Yeah, beers on the boat, disco, ska music, that sort of thing.
Singing songs every bridge you go under.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, Jim Howard's going to arrange one for the AFC Wimbledon game on the 11th of February. The boat's going to leave Waterloo at 10. He's put 10 p.m. I think he meant 10 a.m. And it's going to arrive at Kingston at 2 p.m. So an hour before kickoff, Kingston Piers, not a million miles from Norbiton, where the ground is there. There's no other group of supporters that have managed to do this one before, so it'll be a first, and we'll be travelling through some very pleasant scenery of West London and the Upper Thames through Teddington Lock. Oh, we're going to go on a lock. I like locks. I'm thinking to price tickets at about £15 to cover costs, but any profits made, he will donate to the protest fund or to any other good cause. So if you wanna, if you go at CFC Jim on Twitter, when the actual news comes out, it'll let you know when you can get on that boat and go over to FC Wimbledon. Like I say, I can recommend it if you're interested in that sort of thing. Like I say, it's not your standard river cruise. It is a pretty, you know, lads culture one, but it's fun. And if you're up for that sort of thing, I definitely recommend it. And thank Jim as well for organising it. I'm sure that's not easy to organise, but the two I went on were absolutely cracking.
Yeah.
Right, Gavin Blair, talking about Chiz's email there, where people would go to the Valley before it was rebuilt. He says, Gavin Blair says, I remember going to a junior Reds party, jumping the turnstiles and standing on the great terrace with the trees growing. Great memories. It must have been, I mean, obviously it was horrible when we weren't here. It must have been fascinating to come to the ground 5 years later and just look at it and be like, wow, this place, so many memories. It would have been like, say we ended up moving to, like, say you're a West Ham fan who was able to go back into Upton Park now and just look, or an Arsenal fan who could go to Highbury where they've built the flats now and just stand in the big garden in the middle and just remember. That must be quite a bizarre thing. But then to actually, obviously it was in horrible circumstances then here at the moment, but then to come back and see that sort of stuff. It must have been quite incredible, really, just to try and remember everything you've seen happen in this place. I mean, imagine now if we just went and sat in the stand and just sat there and thought about what the things you've seen here.
That's what I mean. Like, even like little things. Like, I remember sitting in the old covered end. Yeah. Like a little tiny one. And we sit there, and I swear I sit now, but it's like before. It used to be the low roof, and the noise just stayed in there. And then you had the old east stand with the arches, and you had the little porter cabins down the side.
Yeah.
And then you had, obviously, you had the banks of the east, which obviously I'm too young to know that, but it's just incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
but I've seen you've been mentioned for a place in this 11.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, from Will. Yeah, he says because you have to know the context on this. They do a match preview thread on Charlton Life forum, and they do a suggested 11. But we're going through all these injury problems, and someone had put in Ricky Holmes, I think it was, or someone who was injured, and they had to take him out. And then he'd run out of ideas, so he decided to put Mendes at right wing. And everyone's like, who's Mendes? He put Louis Mendes, because well, I'm playing, am I? So I got into the team. So Will says that Mendes surely is the makeshift winger. Charlton Life confirmed him playing 1 week, but I'm not an animal. That's the problem.
I was going to reply back and say, what animal is Louis? But then I didn't want to start a row.
My name is Gareth, says, went with his bro to Bradford, impressed with three things: the football in the first half, the defence in the second half, and with Robinson's passion. Right, we're going to have a quick break. We've got a couple more emails to talk about here on Charlton Live. Of course, we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's FA Cup game up at MK Dons. We've also got a thread I've started about memorabilia, which hopefully we're going to come on to if we get a chance. Let's have a very quick break, and we'll be back here on Charlton Live in just a few moments' time.
Dennis is fed in, lovely touch, goes round his player, chips across the box. Jackson! Oh, yes! What a goal by Johnny Jackson! Arriving late in the box, Holmes Dennis with a pinpoint cross, and the skipper's given Charlton the lead.
Charlton Live. Welcome back. Nathan's just disabled my mouth with this horrible, horrible,
say something
sour,
quick.
Sweet lemon thing. It's disgusting.
Woohoo! Oh. I was waiting for that.
Right, I can't even open my eyes to read this forum now, but only me on the Charlton Life forum said, good evening, Louis. Surely there is someone out there who is a rat called Ronan. If so, he would be able to pick what formation the team would play. And I am Dan. Now, we think we've completed the 11 here.
Yeah?
I am Dan says that he had a dog called Pringle, who sadly died now. But, you know, so Martin Pringle, he could play on the wing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Carl said yesterday, inside forwards, that's the way forward.
That's what I've done him as that.
That's what they used to have him back in the day. Inside forward, Martin Pringle, we have now got...
No, I need a centre-back, just one more centre-back.
Oh, we need another centre-back.
Yeah.
Has anyone got a dog called...
Fish,
Perry. Patty Bauer.
Someone must have an animal called Perry.
Hmm.
Perry the dog or something, like Chris Perry.
Yeah, all right, so we need those. Keep us updated. Right, a couple more emails to look at. Brian Pace says, Carl Robinson, great to have a manager with passion and enthusiasm, a breath of fresh air at last. Oh, not again. He says, if he can manage without interference and make some quality additions in January.
Do you want me to read it out?
No. We tried that on Thursday and that did not go well. Tom's not even here to save us. He said, things could get interesting. I've always felt that with some good results, Many of the stayaways, including me, will gradually return. I really hope so. Best wishes for Christmas to all you guys, and Merry Christmas to you, Brian Pace, as well. We're going to have our last show before Christmas. It's going to be the Thursday after the Millwall game, and me and Nate are bringing beers into the studio, so we're looking forward
tequila.
To it. Tequila! Yeah, so that's going to be our Channel 9 Christmas party. But that's an interesting point that Brian makes there. It's all about protesting that. Now, my theory is, and I think this is fair, that, you know, lots of people were protesting at the end of last season, and you know, the underlying problems will probably remain even if we do get promoted this season. Mm. But for most people, that'll be enough, just results, really. Yeah. And I think Brian's right there. I mean, there will still be underlying problems that people will still worry about. The main thing you worry about is results on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, even if we were cruising at the top of the league, yeah, maybe the protest wouldn't be as much, but there'd still be unrest, and people would want a change in ownership and stuff. But yeah, of course, every single one of us want us to do win well and win every match and get promoted. I don't think there's any one fan out there that wants us to lose any week, every week, you know. So, but yeah, so I think that's probably what the main consensus is. I could be wrong, but that's what I think anyway.
Right, Zachary says, hi, sounds like a decent performance yesterday, probably a good result, but only if we start converting draws into wins. We're yet to beat any of the top six in the league, and that has to change if we're to move up the table, starting with Peterborough. I was at their match yesterday, and though they scored some fine goals and were impressive in the second half, they were lucky to go in level at half time at home to Chesterfield, one of League One's weakest teams. They are beatable, and whether we challenge for the playoffs or not could be defined by results against sides like them between now and the end of the season. That's a good point. We've got Peterborough next week. You know, we'll look at that game. We'll look at that. And we want to start catching up with these teams inside the top six. And Peterborough's one of the ones to be shot at. Right, now, also at the top of the show, before we start the Pet 11, we still need the defender, lads. Come on. One Pet defender. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a Pet named after a Charlton defender, help us out here. Come on. Right. I also... I was looking for some content, because I didn't know we were going to have the Pet 11 until I turned up here at the start of the show. I was thinking, like, what sort of things do football geeks like us like? And I like collecting my football mugs. I only started sort of a season and a half ago. Got one at, I went to a non-league game at Tamworth, and I thought I wanted some sort of souvenir, so I bought a mug, Tamworth mug. And then I decided I actually quite like this. So now I've started buying mugs at every team I go to.
Where'd you put them? Have you got like a storage cupboard?
Yeah, I've got a shelf. I mean, they're all in use. They're not. I'm not one of those like boring geeks who doesn't use their toys. I have a mug. I had a cup of tea in Sheffield Wednesday today. That's one of my favourite mugs. I know people don't like Sheffield Wednesday, but their mugs are right up there.
Oh, okay.
That goes for their crockery and their fans. Their mugs. So I wanted to find out what other things people collect. So on the forum, Stone Mute says he collects Charlton books and metal badges. He used to have a couple of dozen of the old style silk scarves from different clubs. We cleared them out a long time ago. Henry Irving, Ben Hayes on the forum says he's got 500 different Charlton badges. Put up tweets, photos of a couple of those. They look absolutely quality. Do you have anything, Nate?
Not really. I used to, when we was in the Premiership at Home and Away, I used to keep just the tickets. Yeah. Just like the match tickets, but I never really had anything souvenir in terms of cups and that. But yeah, I lost them all. So
a lot of people have said about the ticket styles. My brother used to collect those as well. Used to have a big wall of them. In fact, that's what one Stevie G says on the thing, ticket stubs. Ricky Otto says he collects random football memorabilia, mainly foreign teams. Countries I go to, you've got lots of stuff of Valencia. Captiano's put a nice Twitter of a nice photo of scarves and stuff. So plenty of people collecting scarves and shirts and that sort of stuff. programs as well. A lot of people collect programs, that sort of thing. So if you've got anything interesting that you collect, let us know. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. Pete Finch says, are the Sheffield Wednesday mugs massive? No, that's a regular size mug. But no, I'm saying this Bradford one is absolutely huge. It's the biggest mug I've got. Officially, it's a latte mug. And I was surprised they knew what lattes were in Bradford. But it turns out they're up to date. They caught up with the rest of the UK. Roland Ancelio, Broken Pillows on Twitter, says, Clive R. may remember my call to the Charlton Live, Charlton Chat 25 years ago when my cat had kittens all named after Charlton players. But unfortunately, Scott Minto, the kitten, died of a cleft palate. Oh, that's a shame.
Can we put Scott Minto at left centre back? Can't really, can we?
I don't know. What was Minto?
He was a left back.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, people move around, don't they?
Chuck him in. Here we go.
Matt Olin played about six games at centre-half for us.
Oh, there we go. Lee Novak played there, certainly.
Yeah, Lee Novak played centre-half for the last 4 minutes yesterday. We'd put anyone who would put
him in. We've actually got it, then.
Yeah.
We've got Minto the cat, or the kitten.
Yeah. I mean, like, why don't we just play three at the back, Minto covering, like, in front of the back three.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do, like, another arrow here. There you go.
I'm showing all the tactical nous of Carol Fry here. Let's just put anyone anywhere. But there we go. So now we have completed the CFC.
Yeah, I'll get that out now. I'll send it out now.
Right.
That's impressive.
Seb says he collects all programmes. Ashley says, I bought a programme from every single away game I've been to except Gillingham. I'll have to try and see if I've still got my Gillingham programme, Ashley, if you want it. Because I don't keep them, but sometimes they're all just in the back of my bag until I chuck them out. Tom B said he named three ducks, Clive, Rufus and Sasser, on May the 24th, 1998. We all know what happened the next day. Oh, dear. Pete Superaddict says, to my shame, I have the Charlton Alan Pardew manager mug. Sorry. So that's a terrible mug. My mug at work is the Chris Powell celebrating the League One title. That one. Roger Charles says, I've bought several items over the years. The best thing I have is a 1947 Cup Final programme, £175. Now, that is a cracking bit of memorabilia. Right. Only got 2.5 minutes left, Nath.
Hey?
Yeah. So we need to look ahead to...
Tuesday,
right. So game's going to be live on BBC Radio London. If you haven't got CFC Player, so you can listen to the game on there. But also, if you have got CFC Player, Tom and Nathan, the big match preview friends of mine, are going to be doing the commentary on CFC Player, so you can listen to them. Looking forward to it, Nath?
Yeah. Hopefully we get a nice performance. Obviously, I'd like to see Aribo get some minutes and then see what happens. I mean, yeah, I'm more going to be looking at the way we're playing. And hopefully we can, you know, get a result and play Brighton. But I just want to focus on this league this year. But, yeah, obviously I want to win. But I'm mainly going to be looking at how we're setting up now and the different sort of style of play that Carl's brought in.
Yeah, and see if he can get them to play that. And it'll be interesting now because, like I say, we clearly made progress from last week to this week in terms of the way we played in that first half.
Mm.
Two teams going at it like that. MK still played away. I mean, MK got a result against AFC yesterday, which was a shame, but... Yeah, it could be an interesting game. Interesting to see who starts the centre-half now. So we've got Pierce is going to be out injured. Bauer's going to be suspended. Do you reckon Rojo might come back in?
Possibly, because everyone's got a clean slate. But
yeah, I mean, Tex is probably going to
play. Yeah, Tex will play. I think it might all depend, like we said off air, if Foles is back. If Foles is back, then maybe he'll go right back and then Ezri will go in the middle with Tex. I don't know, maybe, unless he does bring Rojo back. But I don't know if Rojo's been kept fit since he hasn't been playing or not, but
who knows? He seems to have some sort of permanent black eye now, Rojo. Whenever I see him, apparently had an incident during a game in when he was out in India, and that's left him with some sort of horrible injury that means he's always got sort of a bruise on his face. Interesting Rojo fact for you there. Right, we've run out of time. It's been a really good show tonight. I've really enjoyed it. The CFC Pet 11 came out of nowhere, but we've managed to feel a starting 11 playing.
Yep.
We were playing Fur 2. Now we're playing just feathers all over the place, really. But
it's like Fur 2, but then the centre half goes into defensive mid, and Pringle comes in as inside forward. That is
proper. That's the problem when you're playing football with animals. They're erratic, aren't they? They don't understand tactics.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So anyway, thanks for all your comments on that thing, on the game and stuff. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Nathan, thanks for coming in Charlton Live this evening.
No worries. Thank you, everyone.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. We'll be back on Thursday evening to preview whoever it is we're playing next week, Peterborough. But thanks for listening to this evening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll see you on Thursday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.